This is mythical.
Before we get started today, we just want to let you know that we've got just a handful of concerts left.
Just a handful.
This year, and it's the only ones we have planned into the future at this point. So if you want to see us do musical comedy.
Oh yeah.
You can come to Albuquerque, New Mexico on November 20th, Phoenix, Arizona on the 21st, Sacramento, California the 22nd, and Valley Center, California on November 23rd, singing some songs.
We're gonna make these real special shows because we ain't gonna do it for a while.
RhettandLinkLive.com. That's RhettandLinkLive.com. Get your tickets there. Don't just Google it and click on the first place you see.
That's right. Now on with the biscuit. Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. This week at the round table of dim lighting, we're discussing, but this is your brainchild. How do you want to put this?
Well, the catchy way to talk about it is, are we out of touch? But the way we're going to discover just how out of touch we might be, if we are.
With ourselves?
With
aliens? With what?
With Generation Z.
Oh, are we losing our grip on the trend, on the currency of pop culture?
And our kids are Generation Z, by the way. Can you look up what officially, Jacob, can you look up officially what years you were supposed to be born in to be Generation Z, just to verify that? Just so when we come back to it, I can seem knowledgeable.
And is there a, what generation are we?
We are
41, 42 year old farts.
We're right, so a lot of people call us Xennials, I think is what some people call us, because we're basically right in between Generation X and Millennials, and we're not really either one. If you're like 41, 42 years old, you're this, I think it's Xennials or Xennials.
Okay. Is there a Generation Y?
Yeah, you missed it, man.
Yeah, no one cares about those people. We're off to the Z's, which Jacob will clarify if it's our that's our children.
There is, like a rough range and then a specific range that some people use.
Born between 1995 and 2015.
Right, so all of our children.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I just take pride in the fact that in this town, when I tell people, when it comes up that we have kids, it's like, oh, you got kids? And I'm like, yeah, I got a 16-year-old. And then it's like, they're just, this face just drops.
Yeah, they can't believe
it.
You
know, in this town. So I'm just grateful that I got kids that old and I still feel this young. But the question is, am I in touch with them?
The reason
a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
I'll get into what we're gonna go through some Generation Z slang that was on a list. That's the way that the list was created is very funny, and so
okay.
I'll get into that when we get into the conversation.
You're gonna test me?
I'm gonna run through it with you, see if you know this stuff. It's pretty long. I don't know how much we'll get through. I'm gonna tell you whether or not I knew that stuff. But the reason I thought about doing this was because I don't even remember where I was, but I realized that I was saying something and I was like, I think I sound old. Because I specifically listened to the way my kids talk and some of the lingo that they use. In fact, lingo is probably a word that makes me sound old. You know what I'm saying? Like, lingo, yeah. What's that, Dad? And I realized that if I'm like excited about something or if I'm trying to tell somebody that I think something's great, I might say like, that's awesome. And then I was like, I don't think my kids would ever say that something was awesome anymore. I don't hear them say that.
No.
And so
my kids don't use the word awesome.
And so I just started realizing that like, oh yeah, I do, even though we are in this medium that is still considered new media and people look at us as like, oh yeah, those young guys on the internet, we're old, and we've got kids that are getting older and about to go to college in just a couple of years. And we are definitely out of touch to some degree. Today we're gonna find out just how out of touch we are.
I'd like to give an update on my shower window situation.
Yeah, it's quite a situation.
Though it has nothing to do with being in touch. Unless you want to talk about me being in touch with my neighbor.
Can you talk about it
out of my shower window while I'm showering?
Can you talk about it in as you haven't seen anything in a lingo? Can you talk about it as if you're in Generation Z?
Perhaps, bro.
Wow, that's off to a rough start.
I think as I've pre-established my peeps, my shower is totally lit because, well, it'd be hard to light anything in there in terms of like setting anything on fire because it's so wet in there.
Right, you gotta have a waterproof light.
Like it's
or a shower light.
I mean, it's
a special light.
Well, there are lights in there. There are two recessed lights above the shower, which I don't use because I have a window which lets in all of my natural light. And so it is lit by the natural glow of the environment.
You don't ever take showers when it's dark?
Very, very rarely. I take them in the morning. But interestingly enough, there are exceptions and my update is related to an exceptional time that I took a shower because I don't know if you haven't been listening to all these, don't feel guilty. I'll bring you up to speed. I actually feel a little guilty. You're missing out on
you should keep up
on the updates with the fact that Rhett told me when I see my neighbor leaving for work and I'm in the shower shampooing, I got to make eye contact and assert my dominance. I can't remember why. And I definitely-
It was for the future. It was for when the world falls apart and you're asserting yourself as a leader of your community.
And especially because I can't remember why, I don't remember why I actually tried it, but I did. And then ever since then, his car's gone when I get in the shower. And my routine's the same. So I think my dominance led him to adjust his routine to go to work earlier, just so he doesn't have to almost see me out of the corner of his eye, staring at him when I'm shampooing my hair. Now, as I've established, the window is a widescreen format window and it exposes me from the collarbones up, I think from his vantage point. When he's in his driveway backing out and he looks forward, he can see me. But I went, over this past weekend, I went mountain biking. Me and Lincoln went mountain biking. I didn't ask him to describe it, but he wouldn't have said awesome. And he wouldn't have said lit either.
You really gave up on the whole Generation Z thing pretty early in this.
I know, it's tough, it's too tough. But so then when I got back, it was kind of late. It was dinner time. It was like 6 or 6:30. And I was like, well, I need to take a shower. You know, I'm pretty sweaty. So I get in there and I'm taking a shower and I got my window open and I'm looking out. It's like, oh, the sun's kind of going down. This is a beautiful time to take a shower and enjoy my window. And I looked at the driveway and I saw my neighbor's car there. He was not in the car. Mm-hmm. And then I turned a little bit further and I looked in a place that I had not looked. And it was my neighbor's house. And
hold on, how have you not looked there?
Well, because I'm looking out at the majestic scenery. There's like mountains and stuff. I'm not gonna look at his house.
Now, can I just interject and say that you talk about seeing the scenery while showering as if the only time you see the scenery around your house is while showering. Like out of every other window, it doesn't exist. Or perhaps, bro, if you go outside, maybe you would also see it. Like you talk about it like you're on a spaceship that has like a holodeck situation.
Yeah.
And the only way to experience what Earth was like at one time is to go take this shower.
The only other place I can see this vantage point of the mountains is if I walk out my front door, which is nice, you know, you're exiting, you get to see it, but I don't have any other windows. Like both boys have a window in their bedroom that faces that same direction, but those are the only four places you can see that vantage point. So, and I'm in the shower every day. I gotta look at something.
Okay.
And it's not gonna be my neighbor's house, but I happen to look over there and they put in a new window. They remodeled after I put in my shower window. Mm-hmm. And I looked through that window and I realized I'm looking at the family next door eat dinner.
No.
Yeah.
So how have you not seen the dinner table so far? Because they haven't been at it?
They've never been at it. So it's just like kind of a dark window to nothing. So now I'm freaking showering and I'm looking at, and he's at the head of the table looking at me, eating his dinner.
Oh, the tables have turned.
I'm like, man, feel like a heel.
He was slow playing you. He lulled you into thinking that your dominance had worked. He was like, I'm gonna leave early a couple of times, but I'm just waiting for that day he accidentally takes a shower while we're eating dinner and I'm gonna stare him down. And a man looking at you while he's eating is especially dominant.
Yeah, I wasn't eating.
Because in like the history of the animal kingdom.
He has the upper hand.
The history of the animal kingdom, while you're eating, like this is when you show who's boss.
Right.
And if you can eat and look at somebody in the eye, you own them. He owns you.
Because eating is survival. It's like, I'm currently taking in the calories I need to dominate you. Are you eating right now? No, you're just getting clean. Like, what? Who needs to be clean?
Yeah, right.
This is why he's, oh my gosh, I think you're right, because you know what?
What was the expression on his face?
That was 2 days ago. And then this morning, I'm taking a shower at my normal allotted morning time.
He's back in the car.
I look out there and
yeah, he did it.
I swear to you, he was in his car.
That's exactly what
happened.
He was
happened. In his car.
This guy, he must be listening to the podcast.
He was really in his car. And I really had a hard time looking at him. I really tried. It's like, man, I think this is your dominance. You're controlling me, man. I'm sitting here staring at a guy eating dinner with his family.
I will say, I'm having a lot of fun.
It's wrong,
and
man.
And I've never seen this man.
It's wrong.
Actually, you know what?
I felt bad. But shower, nobody wants to watch a dude shower while they're eating dinner.
I did see.
With their family?
I did see him and his wife.
Two young kids?
The other day when I was dropping Shepherd off at your house, they were getting in the car and I was like, oh, I get to see this guy.
Yeah.
But he got in the car right as I realized, I got a good look at his wife. I mean, I didn't like make I didn't try to dominate her with my looks or anything. I didn't get a good look at the husband.
And every time I talk about this, Christy and Lily just tell me, Dad, you got to stop talking about this. I mean, I think
you mean on this podcast?
Yes. I can't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't help but give you an update because is this all in my mind? And are you planting these things in my mind? Because Chrissy's like, you didn't really look at him out the window. You're just saying that for the podcast. And I'm like, no, I did.
No, I bet you.
I did.
That's
I
not true.
My sense of reality is being blurred by you and hey, this man. Shower window.
Listen, you're gonna thank me later.
For what?
When you've got a dog collar on that guy and you've got a chain around his neck.
What's wrong with you?
Like 15
he's
years
listening.
From now.
I'm convinced he's listening.
After the big one happens, you'll thank me.
I don't, if he's there tomorrow morning, man, and what if he's eating? Well, I mean, it takes a little time between us recording and then releasing the episode, then him listening to it, and then him deciding to take a turkey leg into his car as he's going to work and dominate me by eating in his car.
If he makes eye contact with you while eating in the car, he's definitely listening.
Oh gosh. Now, because you talked about your neighbor like a year ago and the whole thing about like the tree and stuff.
And it completely reconciled the whole thing.
And
I wouldn't say we're friends at this point, but we're in regular communication about if somebody's gonna have a loud party or whatever.
Well, my wife is also in communication with
your
neighbor, yeah.
My neighbors?
Yeah, she knows her now. She met her around town.
No.
Yeah.
How does she know, how?
They work out at the gym together.
How does she
and
know?
And then they see each other around town.
How did it come out?
I don't know how Christy put it together, but she did.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. We're good friends. We exchange wine at Christmas time.
Okay.
I mean, that's a sign of a good neighbor.
Maybe if I get in the shower with food next time, then I can still assert my dominance.
Man, I do think it should be a large turkey.
It's got to be like meat on a bone type situation.
Yeah, this is the one time where a turkey leg makes all sense because
like a tomahawk cut.
That could be like a large beef rib. Yeah.
Beef rib.
Yeah, that could be good.
Could be that.
Yeah, but it's hard to come by though. Turkey legs, dime a dozen. And you don't wanna do like a corn dog because that'll disintegrate in the shower.
I'm gonna have to keep it. Yeah, because you're right. I'm gonna have to keep that slab of meat in the shower until the right opportunity. Then I'm gonna have to pick it up and eat it. It's gonna have to be there.
Right. I think you know what you gotta do next.
Yeah, I feel good about this. I think this is the right decision.
Okay,
the saga continues.
I look
man.
Forward to seeing how it goes.
Man, you really got to come up to my shower.
Yeah, I'm really interested. When we get a turkey,
you weren't before.
You get a turkey leg in there. I'll come up there.
A nice steamy turkey leg.
Okay, we're gonna see just how out of touch we are. Apartments.com has more rental listings than anywhere else. So finding the perfect place is easier than ever, and so is finally moving in together, just the two of you.
It's a big step. Lots of new responsibilities, lots of adjustments. Most likely, they'll wake you up at odd hours to go to the bathroom.
And you'll most definitely find yourself in trouble coming home late for dinner. They may even unroll all your toilet paper next time. It's just what happens when you two find a new place together.
But you're not doing it because you feel like it. No, you're doing it because you love them, because they're family. And that's why Apartments.com has more pet-friendly rental listings on the internet. Did you know that's what we were talking about?
Yes.
Pets. So that you and your furry family can find the perfect new place together.
Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place. Ear Biscuits is supported by DoorDash.
I'm keeping less alcoholic beverages in my house lately. I'm kind of on that swing of the pendulum.
Okay.
But I will say, there's times when you want to crack open an adult beverage.
Yes, it happens.
Sometimes amongst friends, sometimes alone. I don't want to get into the details.
I recommend with friends. If you're looking to celebrate with some special drinks, here's to alcohol deliveries with DoorDash.
Whether you're hosting, sending a congratulatory gift, or just staying in to chill with a cold one, DoorDash is an easy call.
The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more.
They have it all, beer, wine, mixers, and for those that don't drink, mocktails and more can be delivered straight to your door.
Save up to 25% off up to a $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code EAR. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening, any evening.
Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. And you know what? Before we, you know, I did want to mention, I wanted to acknowledge everyone who's talking about Lost Causes of Bleak
yeah,
Creek.
Right.
On the Mythical Society, there's great conversations happening there. We're really enjoying hearing how you are processing the story and experiencing it. It's a big part of our satisfaction. Like it feels like a completion to hear from you guys in terms of like having worked so hard on this novel. So on Twitter, hashtag Bleak Creek at the Mythical Society, and wherever you want to discuss the novel,
we're going to enter into that discussion. So make sure you are tagging all those things so we can see them as we begin to gather questions and comments and insights and observations that you have made about the book. And then we're going to do a podcast sometime soon where we enter into that conversation and maybe offer some insights into that.
So you're gonna what is this
so there's
quiz?
There's a guy. Let's see where he is. Where is he? He is in.
Where's he at? Where's he at?
He's in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Okay.
His name is Mr. Callahan. He's a teacher, and there was an article at least in BuzzFeed. I think it may have been in other places as well earlier this year, where he started to keep a list of the words that he heard his students using because he was like, I'm lost. I don't understand what this stuff means. But every time I hear them use a certain phrase or a word that I don't understand, that seems like there's a generational divide here, I'm going to write it down and then get them to define it for me.
Okay, cool. And how old is he?
I don't know specifically. But
I thought you told me he was about our age.
Oh, yeah, 43. He's 43. It says, yeah, the article is like 43-year-old teacher. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's our age, which makes us even more relevant to us. And he's
our irrelevance more relevant.
He's dealing regularly with Generation Z people, which we do because we are parents to them. And also, I know there's a fair amount of people born between 95 and 2015 who listen to this podcast and enjoy the other things that we do. So he started making this list, and of course, when word got out about the fact that he had this list, he made it into a Google Doc that is now publicly available to anyone who wants to.
Yes, open source it.
And I think the interesting thing about this, as opposed to simply entering in these phrases into the Urban Dictionary and getting the definition, which I could have done, I wanted to just stick with Mr. Callahan's list exclusively, because I think that maybe some of his definitions or the definitions that he got from his particular students in Massachusetts, some people may, who know, you may have a contention with one of these definitions. I don't know. But this is the information that he received. You're gonna definitely know some of these, and you're definitely gonna not
hit
know.
Me with one.
So, a force. So starting with the first one.
Two words, a
force.
Space, force.
Yeah.
Like a force to be reckoned with, like that, it's a complimentary, it's a way to describe someone, like my neighbor is, who showers while staring at me, is such a force. It's like it's—
Well, that's your old man's understanding of it, which is what I would agree with, but it is unnecessarily excessive effort.
Okay, yeah, that man who stares at me while showering is a, okay, that's even better. And more accurate.
And I don't even—
Unnecessarily—
Don't read it, because you're gonna read other things. Unnecessarily excessive effort. I don't even know how that would be used in a sentence.
He's forcing it.
Oh, that's a force.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was a force. Now—
You're forcing him, you're trying too hard.
But we used to use this, like my dad would say, like it's in sports language. Like sometimes you'll be shooting and you're trying too hard, like shooting the basketball. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, don't force it.
Don't force it, let it come
just
to you.
Just shoot it.
Just let it happen. Just relax into it.
So is that the same thing?
I think so, yeah.
But think, it's a force. They use it in a specific way. They're not saying don't force it, they're saying a force. That's a force.
So there's no
usage
sentence.
In a sentence. Mm. I wanted—
Callahan needs a new column. In his Google Doc.
Yeah, Mr. Callahan, we would invite you to update your Google Doc.
But I mean, he needs to open it up for edits. He needs to open source it.
Bang 30s.
Never heard this.
Bang 30s.
I'm about to go bang 30s. That means like, I'm gonna take a power nap. I'm gonna sleep for 30 minutes. I'm gonna bang out 30.
Yeah. That's not what it means. Power nap's taken for 30 minutes. I think that's too long, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be 20, huh? Generation Z, they're sleeping too much.
To fight someone as in a physical altercation.
So you've got my fist plus my fist is 10, plus your fist and your fist is 20. It's when three people fight.
No, I think it's my fist and my fist, your fist and your fist, and then either both of my feet, both of your feet or one of your foots.
But none of my
and
feet.
And one of my feet.
Either both of your feet and none of mine or one and one.
So it's a boxing match where kicking with one leg is allowed.
But you don't know where the 30 comes from.
I have no idea.
They're banging 30s in the common area. We gotta call the popo. We gotta—
Banging 20s would have made so much more sense.
Banging 20s.
Banging 30s.
Again, we have no—
Callahan's
not giving us
enough. I mean, I just thought that we should just let our ignorance be on display, and that might be more entertaining than actually trying to clarify some of this.
It doesn't seem like we're ignorant. It also seems like we're crotchety old men, because we're complaining about why it doesn't make sense, even though we've been told what it means.
Well, I mean,
Give me another one.
We can have opinions. Beat your face.
Beat your face?
Yeah, beat your face.
Beat your face. I'm getting frustrated that there's no sentence. Cause I don't know, is this an imperative? Like, hey man, beat your face.
I thought my wife was ready, but then I realized she was still beating her face.
Putting on makeup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Applying makeup.
Beat your face.
Also cake your face, but cake your face is too easy.
Beat your face, I bet this came from the, what are those people who make those YouTube videos about makeup called?
Makeup people.
You don't know?
Makeup gurus?
Yeah.
Beauty gurus?
Beauty gurus. Gurus.
Beauty gurus.
Beauty gurus. I bet it came from, I bet one of them.
Said beat your face?
Because here's the thing, this almost, my kids have not said any of these. My kids don't say lit. They don't even say dope. Like, to me, the one that if I was going to make a calculated effort to try to speak Gen Z, I'd say dope. But I cannot bring myself to do it. I've got too much pride, and I know that I don't mean
that's kind of old school though. But it also they also say it.
They all say it, right? If something's good, if something's cool or awesome, they say that's dope, man. Dope. And dope's been around.
Does none of your kids say that?
My kids do not say that. I think Locke says it sometimes, right?
Locke hasn't said any of these, but Locke definitely, because he's into hip hop, he's, I've heard a number of these.
Maybe Lincoln has said it. Maybe Lincoln has said it. Because it's definitely that hip hop, pop culture influence there. But I just, could you ever hear yourself saying?
That's dope.
Dope.
Actually, out of all the things on this list, dope feels like low-hanging fruit, man.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
That's dope, man.
Really though? Would you say it? Could you say it?
I'm gonna say it today.
You're gonna try it out.
I'm gonna try it out. I don't even think that's one though. Is it? I mean, it's not on this list. It just feels a little obvious, but I do agree they say it.
Now, here's the thing. Let's go all the way. We have to agree that we're cool with each other saying dope, because if we're not, you know what's gonna happen.
Well, you can't, if I say it and you're around, you can't look at me like, right. Oh, you just dropped it.
Right.
And you can't do that.
You can't do that to me, because that's what we do. We have this like, we're very self-aware. And I don't know, we have this, and maybe it's a gift, maybe it's a curse, but we definitely have this constant critic of ourselves that's like, how would other people be, how would I be perceiving someone else if they were doing or saying what I'm doing right now? That's self-awareness, mm-hmm. By my definition. And then we have the second layer, because we're together so much that we police each other, so we're other aware. So if either of us does anything that's out of the ordinary, a little odd, especially when it comes to like saying something like dope is a perfect example, we'd be all over that for the other one. Be like, really? That ain't you. You're fronting.
I don't think I would say that if you said something was dope. I'd be like, oh, that's an now if you said—
Sincerely though, if I said it sincerely, I would know that something in your brain had been triggered that was like, he's trying something. It's like when I got those pants and I roll in with my pants and you're like, your pants are, what are those, like hammer pants? I can't remember what you said. They were like, they're like baggy pants, baggy jeans.
I don't know if I said anything about them.
You didn't have to say anything because I knew what you were thinking, because again, it's this self-policing thing. You thought something, you noticed the pants, you decided not to say anything.
Well, there was a big difference from your pants that you've been wearing, and all of a sudden your pants are very different, yeah.
Right, so it's like what I needed from you, man, was permission. I needed you to say—
You don't need permission from me.
I acknowledge your pants, and you know what? I don't know if I like them yet, but I applaud you expanding yourself. Like literally, the pants are expanded. You know, if you said something like that, it'd be like, it's kind of like when we devoted an entire hour to talking about your hair growing out.
That's a little different. That's not pants. I can't take it off.
But in the policing way, I stepped out of the way. Like you said your piece, and I stepped out of the way. Like you knew that there was not gonna be any criticism from me or constant judgment. Like cutting my eyes, like, okay, what is he doing? I don't agree with this, or I think this is suspicious, or this isn't really him, you know? Can we do that with the word dope?
I'm gonna say it today. We're going to two different places today.
Together.
And I can think, I believe that in both, so I will use it in both circumstances. I'll say dope. And maybe something else that we learn about. I have heard this one.
I think when I do it, I'm gonna do it too. Can we both do it?
No, you need a different word.
You can't have, it was my idea.
Okay, well then you can have dope. I'm gonna do a different word. We can't go into a place where we're with somebody and then both people are like, Rhett and Link both describe different things as dope.
See, you're so self-aware, man. Yeah. Who cares what they think?
I mean, I don't really care, but if we're doing an experiment, it needs to be, we gotta set all the parameters. It's like one person says dope, see how it feels. Two people say dope, something's in the water.
Man, I'm nervous about.
Like, I don't want people to be like, you know,
I'm getting flushed, you know, just thinking about saying dope today.
You know what Rhett and Link say when they like something? They say it's dope. I heard them both describe this thing as dope within 30 minutes of each other.
Because awesome is tired, big tired. And I just made that up. Like I put big in front of something. I see that didn't work.
Yeah.
What? Okay, you got to choose another word.
Well, let me get to some. I've heard this one, bops.
Bops. Now I know there's a DaBaby song called Bop. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like he's looking for a bop. Like he's looking for, he wants his track to bop. Mm-hmm. To him, it means something in terms of like the feel he gets. It's like it makes you kind of, makes you move in a certain way that then you gotta do that certain rhyme scheme that they do now.
I think you
the
might,
rappers.
I think you might be overthinking it. I think it just means it's a good song, like an enjoyable song. He says a modern enjoyable song.
Oh, okay.
Now
I knew this one.
Now I think it can be used in a couple of ways because
shout out to DaBaby. He's
definitely
North Carolina.
I've heard Locke say that something bops. That bops.
That's because. Yeah, that's very hip hop.
That bops, or I guess you could say that's a bop. I don't think you can say that's a bop.
Yeah, you can. I think you can. That song.
That bops, though, I think is better. It's even more. That's like more refined.
It's like a, like they wouldn't say I'm looking for a banger. You're looking for a bop now. You don't want a banger anymore. Bangers are over.
Whereas we would have.
Bangers aren't dope.
We would have just said a good hook. Yeah. That's old school.
Well, that a hook applies to a certain part of the song, though.
That's a hit. Ooh, that's a hit. That's what I would say.
I think you'd say another one.
That's popping.
That's what you would say.
Is popping might be on here.
A bop.
Is popping old? Or I mean, this is not a comprehensive list. Now this one's. He's got bouta in there. Bouta.
Like bouta bouta.
Like no. Bouta, like I'm about to bouta. That doesn't. I don't know if that should. I think you should take that off the list, Mr. Callahan. Because
I'm about to dance 30s. What was it? Pop 30s.
Bang 30s.
Bang 30s. I'm about to bang 30s. If you don't play my bop.
Now I've heard there's two different versions of this. Catch a fade.
Catch a fade. What's the other version?
Catch these hands.
Catch these hands? Haven't heard that either.
Oh, I've heard that. My son.
I think
this is
fighting too.
Yeah, whenever like sometimes
you're about to catch these fans.
Me and Locke will like do some like shadow boxing, slap boxing type stuff, and like you know, and like I'll just see him in the kitchen. I'll go up to him and hit him. That's what we do in the McLaughlin family. I mean, just play fight, and he's like, "You're gonna catch these hands, Dad." I've never caught the hands. But catch this fade, catch a fade is also, I feel like a news anchor.
catch a fade
is also it, acceptable.
I thought fade was a haircut.
That's
maybe
what's.
I think it's if you like punch someone on the side
head,
of the head where they have a fade.
A glancing blow of the head?
Yeah, if you give them a glancing blow to the temple,
well,
that's where if you punch them in the temple, that's where the fade is.
Technically, if you catch a fade, you would actually grab hold of the hair.
See, now you're going too far.
Acting too literal.
You catch it with your face.
But isn't it?
You beat your face.
But the idea of actually literally catching someone's hands who's trying to fight you, that's awesome. Like if I was like describing a fight, a high school fight, and I was like, dude, this dude totally caught his hands.
Oh, like, yeah.
He tried to punch him and he caught his hands.
Yeah. That hair, like, punch me in the face right now.
Like
oh,
that.
You see that?
That's like superhero stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Punch me with the other hand. Yeah, see that?
Look
I caught
that.
Your hands. And now I'm going to bang your hands together and make a
30
firework.
30 times?
and make a firework.
You only have to do it 3 times to get to 30 because it's 10 fingers.
My dad would visit me in college. And leading up to Christmas time, or maybe it was my birthday. I'm pretty sure it was Christmas time because I remember buying winter clothes because he would take me to the mall and we'd go on like a shopping spree. We did this like for 2 or 3 years in a row in college. And I remember what you said about how you and Locke would like give love licks to each other, like punch each other. I remember I was walking in the Crabtree Mall with my dad and we were shopping one Christmas and like I was buying stuff in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I was probably saying stuff he didn't understand.
Yeah.
I don't.
Awesome.
As a side note, I don't remember that we were like heavy into the like vernacular. Like I do think a lot of it comes from hip hop culture. Like there's so many sayings, and then there's the internet culture, and there's so many personalities, like not just beauty gurus, but everybody on the internet has a way of like coming up with their phraseology and then it kind of memifying. And I won't even get into memes yet. But I don't recall, as a side note, when I think back to walking down the mall with my dad, that I was like, that we were saying those type of things. I mean, we listened to rap music, but we also knew that it wasn't for us to speak in the same way. It was like, we were, you know, it wasn't popularized culture in the way that hip hop is now. So I think.
We call things cool. Something is cool, something is awesome. We didn't use rad. Hmm. Actually, never did rad.
Which that's come back in like a hipster, but that's a hipster terminology.
But when
now.
I was in California, like from ages 3 to 5, I specifically remember people saying rad, because that was like early 80s.
Well, there was a surf culture and skate culture also was a place that had a
tubular.
Lot of terminology.
They used the word tubular
and, yeah.
And gnarly.
Yep. And so a lot of those things, so you have these subcultures.
Feldman remembers tubular. Did you say tubular? Did you ever use that seriously?
It's the valley.
Totally, dude. But I was walking down there and I remember we were gonna buy some big baggy jeans or something. And I just reached over and I punched my dad in the shoulder. Just like a love lick, you know? We didn't have that thing that you and Locke have where you're like shadow boxing or whatever. But like, just as a show of affection, we were in conversation. I can't remember the specific context, but I punched him in the shoulder. And that was the end of it. And then it was like a year later.
Oh yeah.
My dad is talking about his shoulder. He's like, yeah, I'm still having some trouble with my shoulder. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because I actually have some trouble with my shoulder. I think it's like, this might be a genetic thing. Like my shoulder pops out of joint. He's like, well, mine started when you punched me that day in the mall. I actually had to go to the doctor and he said that like, a ligament was separated.
Man, you.
I separated a ligament on my dad trying to give him a love lick.
I've said this for years. This is why I don't, anytime we have to do something where like it requires you hitting me or you doing something, you don't know your own strength or you try to do it a little bit harder. You hit him too hard, man.
Well, obviously, and I felt horrible about it. I mean.
You've never permanently injured me.
I wasn't trying to prove anything.
I'm just saying, it's like, you did it, it was excessive.
So I tell Lincoln, like Lincoln will start to roughhouse me and I'm like very, especially because I actually do have shoulder issues and I'm doing like physical therapy for my shoulder because I have hypermobility. That's what I'm diagnosed with. Like all my joints, my shoulder joints and elbow joints are like, they're a little too mobile and they're not mm-hmm. supported enough. So we'll start roughhousing, because I'll grab him and like put him in a bear hug or something. And I'm very aware the combination of what I did to my dad and then how my shoulder feels, that like he's gonna do the same thing to me and it's gonna be a legacy. That would not be lit or dope. I will never say lit. That like dope, I think I can do. So, something about the way your mouth is shaped.
Well,
and you can say it kind of under your breath like dope. But like lit, it's like, it's lit! You gotta say it like Travis Scott or something.
Sometimes they say Liddy. I've heard Locke say Liddy, which is an alteration of lit. You know this one, clap back, that's easy.
That's when you retort, you give back what they gave to you?
Yeah, you get an insult, you respond with an equal or greater insult. Mm-hmm. But clapped.
Now, I mean, back in 90s hip hop culture, The
clap.
The clap was
an STD.
STI, we'll call it. don't call them a disease anymore. You call it an infection.
Infection.
Yeah.
Okay.
An STI.
All right.
Formerly known as an STD.
Why do they have to change that?
I don't know, just so it's more approachable. I don't know.
Is it always an infection?
I think so, yeah.
What if it's just sometimes it's a disease?
I think they're, because
a disease is not something that can be, is necessarily transmitted. That could be something that is just I don't
think that's the reason. I think it might be because
it could be a genetic disease. Like something.
Infection implies that, like, I guess you can take penicillin and cure it. You can get rid of it. But some of them you can't.
An infection can be passed, and a disease doesn't necessarily have to be a communicable disease. It can be an incommunicable disease, or it could be a genetic disease. And so you can't give somebody a sexually transmitted genetic disease unless they're your offspring. And at that point, it all breaks down. Like if you have a weird penis.
What?
Like I'm saying, if you have
I've got an STD. It's called weird penis.
If you've got
a weird penis.
I'm saying, like, if you've got something genetically wrong with your penis, that would be considered a disease, and then you have you pass a weird penis syndrome onto your child.
Okay,
that's technically a sexually transmitted disease because it was genetic.
No, it's not.
And you had to have sex to have a kid.
You're wrong. You're wrong in so many
places.
I'm
demonstrating why they don't use STD anymore. Because it's STI.
I'm sorry I brought it up because neither one of us know. I have herpes.
Do you have the
on
clap?
My mouth.
Do you have the clap?
I don't have the clap. I don't know what the clap is.
Is that syphilis?
I don't know.
What is the clap?
Gonorrhea? I don't know.
Could somebody look that up?
Somebody clap back on the clap.
Everyone is afraid to Google the clap on the work Wi-Fi.
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Hey, and now they've got super gonorrhea. You heard about this?
This is, okay.
It's my new favorite.
We don't know how to speak to the children, but we have so much information that they need.
My new favorite superhero, super gonorrhea. Super gonorrhea is basically a lot of viral infections are becoming impossible to treat, or bacterial, both, basically completely immune to treatment. And so if you get the strain of gonorrhea that they can't treat anymore, you got super gonorrhea, and I just think it never goes away, unless you've got weird penis syndrome, which at that point it counteracts it, and you don't want gonorrhea, and you definitely don't want super gonorrhea.
And ironically, the people who need to communicate these things the most need to be able to speak the language of Gen Z.
So you're saying that, like, if we make a brochure like what your mother would have had at the health department,
yeah,
that's all about STIs, it needs to say things like, got the clap? Well, clap back.
Clap back on the clap.
Back on the clap with a condom.
One that's a little too late.
Too late.
Clap back on the clap with—
Get ahead of the clap.
Penicillin.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if penicillin works anymore. Clapped means a crazy person, which even that, I don't think Gen Z even use the term crazy anymore.
No.
Yeah, that's not PC. You can't call somebody crazy.
Nope.
But someone who was punched. I don't know, these people up in Massachusetts, I don't know if this is representative of all of Gen Z, Mr. Callahan.
There's a lot of reference to fighting.
Man, he got clapped because he caught them hands. Crikey. That should be on the list. Cracky.
That's when you laugh a lot. Man,
if only it were that simple.
Man, Don is so cracky. He can't hold it together.
It's someone who jewels. Vapes. It's a vape. It's a vapor.
So it's like you're have an addictive habit.
Man, and these kids, man, they're vaping like crazy, man. Like Locke said that basically anytime you go in the bathroom at their school, where all our kids go now.
Yeah, I encourage my kids to use the restroom frequently.
they
because I encourage them to be hydrated. Now that might be working against me because now it's vaping.
Well, they're
happening.
Doing involuntary. They're getting secondhand vapes, man. Because the kids are vaping in there, and I don't know why. I don't understand why they can't. Kids are vaping like in class. I think they have cracked down on it. Cracky. Speaking of cracky, I think they've cracked down on it a little bit. But there's stories of people dying.
I mean, with the people dying, and they're trying to get to the bottom. As of this recording, they're still trying to get to the bottom of what's killing these.
Oh, you think
people.
Sometime between the recording of this and the publishing, they're gonna solve it. that's what you're very hopeful.
Breaking news every day. I mean, there's like black market vapes being created, but they haven't definitively said that that's what it's associated with.
But all vaping is most likely bad for you, you know, and not just the nicotine, which kids shouldn't have, but which we talked about when we had the Surgeon General on. And we had the Surgeon General on, remember that? And we did
Uncle
like
Mythical Moore
anti-vaping thing.
Yeah, a lot of good that did.
And it was funny because there was a couple of like, there's these vaping YouTube channels, and there was a couple of people that came after us and they were like, Red Link don't know what they're talking about. Vaping is completely safe. They're speaking out of ignorance. Listen, whatever they find, right? Whatever they find, and I know that some of the people who are dying are probably getting like black market stuff that's got other chemicals or in it or whatever. But the bottom line is your lungs were made to breathe air, right?
Yeah.
And so changing the concentration that drastically of whatever it is you're putting into your body, even if it isn't combusting at the same temperature that tobacco would be combusting at,
It can't be good.
This is and not a good thing.
And if you're cracky, meaning you're on that thing all the time, nicotine is highly addictive.
Well, and the reason,
and then you're ingesting this vapor all the time.
It is so much more. You end up doing so much more than you typically would with smoking because at least we were coming up. If you wanted to smoke, you had to go to the. We had a smoking pit at Harnett Central High School. There was a smoking pit. I'm sure they don't have this anymore. But basically there was that depressed, literally depressed and also physically depressed area that people stood out there and smoked. But you had to go out there to do it. So how many cigarettes are you gonna get to smoke in a day, right?
Yeah.
But with this vape, you can just, they're doing it in class. Crackies everywhere, man.
Mm.
Don't be a cracky. Find a new hobby.
We're not even out of the seas. Cherry pick a little bit, because I also want to talk about the dynamic of, I think our, like us having children at the age they are now is a dynamic that I'd like to explore.
Finesse. I've heard this one.
Is this a noun or a verb?
This is a verb.
Well, if you finesse something or someone, you like, you take a light touch to get what you want. I can't think that, it means exactly that there.
It means to steal.
Oh, to steal.
I'm gonna finesse your mug.
It's kind of like you got sticky fingers, but a light, you can stick your hand on somebody's pocket and pull out a wallet and they won't know it because you're very finesse. Finesse is also a hairspray.
It is. Here, now, okay. Of course everyone knows low key, and there is a high key.
Thor and Loki.
My kids use low key and high key.
So it's like-
I low key am into this.
It's a qualifier.
I high key want to have that.
It's a qualifier. Low key, it's like, it could be on the down low.
Yeah, you haven't heard this from your children?
They don't say it.
Don't say low key?
Mm-mm.
Like low key is probably the most common one that I've heard amongst, on this list. I've also heard this one. Locke says this all the time. Facts.
Now, to me, that's meme speak. And I think that, I don't know how I know, but I can just tell when my kids go into meme speak. Lily does this a lot. I mean, she created a Pinterest account just to save memes that she can go back to and laugh at, like snicker to herself on her phone. Whenever
snicker,
she,
you need a better word than that.
When she's, you know,
she can cracky up with herself. No, she's not.
I look for one that is what you do with memes, but she, and then she'll say it, and it won't be just like yeet, but she, it'll. I can just tell she goes into this speak that, oh, you just quoted a meme, did you not? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I used to be like, well, show it to me. You know, because it conjures up this visual.
Why are you saying that about facts though?
Because I think that facts is meme speak. Like there's, people will write some, there'll be a statement and then it'll just say facts. And you say facts when it's like, somebody says something that you strongly agree with. I think that's what it means.
Yeah, that's definitely what it means. But, and I'm sure it could be in a meme, but like it's also just link, it's just a slang. Like somebody says something like facts.
But you see it in meme form a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know which came first, but I know there's lots of things that my kids say that are, they're just quoting memes to each other, conjuring a visual image that's a shared experience and that makes the other person laugh. It's like an inside joke. And I mean, my opinion, I'm just like, yeet it.
Yeet it.
Do you know where yeet came from? Some kid who threw something and when he threw it, he said yeet. And then that's where it came from. So it was just a little video that people passed around with this kid saying yeet, and then yeet started to mean throwing something.
And, yeah, that's special.
That's special, man.
I like that.
That's the internet.
Okay. There's a couple, okay, there's a few here that are very old school, and I guess they're coming back. At least they're coming back in Massachusetts in Mr. Callahan's class. Get hip means to adopt a new trend, which is what it meant for us. Jams,
okay,
an old enjoyable song. Hmm. Like, that's my jam.
Okay, yeah.
I'm dead.
It's like, I think we elicit that response a lot. I see that in response to things that we've done on our show. It's like it shook you in a positive way.
It was amusing.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Shook you in a positive way. I'm shook. Shook could be like moved in a negative way.
Yeah.
I'm shook. I don't know what to say, man.
Real one.
Real one?
Yeah.
That's referring to a person who's authentic and yeah, you like them.
A valid person, somebody you trust. He's a real one. No cap.
No cap.
No cap, man.
You're using an accent. Why are you using an accent?
I'm using a Generation Z, like slightly informed by hip hop.
No cap. Like your
like I listen to hip hop sometimes.
Like your eyebrows have to kind of like
no
go
cap,
up,
man.
Your eyebrows kind of have to go together a little
no
bit.
No cap.
No cap. That's real. I mean, it's really, when you do your eyebrows like that, you start to seem like you're saying something that's a little more cool. No cap means no limit. I can't be contained.
No, too literal. It means I'm serious, no lie, for real. Okay. This one's interesting. Period T is period with a T on the end, and I don't know if that is a typo by Mr. Callahan.
Like a dot and a T?
It's just period.
The word period?
And then T on the end of it, as if it's period.
Period.
Period. Period.
What is, I'm sure that's period. How they say it.
It says C fax.
Now it does remind me of which is that, do you know about these VSCO girls?
Oh.
I know he sounds so old.
You mean the ones with the cameras?
No, it's girls. Again, I think Lincoln knows, Lincoln, he said he wanted to be this for Halloween. He said, I want to be a VSCO girl for Halloween. I'm like, I've heard a little bit, but tell me about that. And he was like, you have a Hydro Flask, you have a lot of scrunchies in your hair and maybe on your arms. You like have a hat or a shirt that says like Save the Turtles, and you're wearing yoga pants. You're wearing like Lululemon.
Right, but where does the VSCO come from?
I don't know, VSCO.
I thought it had something to do with a camera.
And I'm like, so are you kind of talking like a girl coming who seems like she's coming from the gym, but she never went to the gym, but she likes environmental causes and she has like a high ponytail like Ariana Grande? And he's like, yeah.
What is it?
Generally uses an insult for a young woman who posts trendy pictures of herself edited on the app,
yeah.
VSCO.
Oh, there's
yeah.
an
See,
app
I told
called
you.
VSCO. Yeah. But that's what they look like.
Right, it's a type of person who uses that app. I can imagine that.
He decided to be an e-boy, which I was like, what is that, emo? And he was like,
what is it, e-boy?
Yeah. He's like, you know, you wear like
This is what he's gonna
be. You wear like a chain Halloween, and then you wear like a, yeah, for Halloween. And you wear like a long, you wear like black and white clothes and like you part your hair down the middle. Cause I was like, I got a pizza costume you could wear. He's like, Dad, I wanna look cool for Halloween.
Well, be an e-boy then.
But.
You'll slay.
Oh, slay is one? What do you think? I mean, we're obviously really showing our dad. I don't think this, are we more in touch than we think? Or are we more in touch that we're out of touch because of the age of our kids? What's the dynamic there?
Well, I think what you talked about earlier and this sort of self-regulating tendency that we have, both to regulate ourselves and to regulate one another, it makes adopting like a new word into your terminology. It makes us really hesitant to do that, right? And so, because it's like, what does it say about me if I'm suddenly using this new word? And so we haven't picked up on a lot of new things. We haven't changed the way that we've talked in terms of the terminology a lot over time. But what we have done is illustrated by your big pants is we've kind of, in ways that maybe people that we went to high school with that didn't choose to be YouTubers for a living, don't necessarily follow the trends. Now, one of the things we've talked about fashion before, so we were gonna do a podcast about that, but we're not. But one of the things I was talking about with Jesse, I was like, something about now that I've got kids who, like I've got a teenager in my house, and if I were to just say, I'm gonna go to Urban Outfitters and I'm just gonna buy everything on the rack at Urban Outfitters and dress that way, now I'm dressing the same way as my 15-year-old kid. And at some point, it kind of feels like I don't want to do that anymore. And I told Jesse, I was like, is it because Locke is now a teenager and then we're going into the same store and we're looking at the same clothes and for the first time ever, I'm just going into a place like Urban Outfitters and just thinking, I don't know if there's anything in here for me. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, it could be part of it, but I also think that you've gotten to an age where you kind of know what looks good on you. You kind of know what shapes look good on you, and you may not like the shapes.
Like Shia LaBeouf said on the Hot Ones.
And that brought us back interview. To our favorite Hot Ones episode ever, Shia LaBeouf talking about how the way he sees clothes is he just thinks about shapes. He doesn't think about colors or patterns. He thinks about shapes. And I was like, I've never connected more with something. I think about shapes, and it probably has something to do with just being a big man. But anyway, I found myself resistant, like, you know, and you've always been a little bit more like, if there's a fashion trend that's gonna happen, like you're gonna open that door earlier than I am. And I've got reasons I won't go into that are boring about why I think I delay that. But this latest trend with the 90s and all the athletic clothes and the boxy things and the block colors and horizontal stripes and all this, I'm not on board for this one. You know, and I feel like I'm kind of taking an exit a little bit. Like I've been on this interstate for a while that's sort of like, okay, I'm kind of conscious of fashion trends and I try to do something that seems fashionable and I kind of dress like a young person. But I kind of feel like I'm on the exit and I'm like, I'm 42. I think I'm gonna have my own style and I'm not gonna be too worried about what the general style is anymore. And I'm just gonna wear what I feel good in. You know what I'm saying?
The decision I've made is more of I'm gonna get on a parallel highway that still is moving. I like trying new things, but I don't wanna emulate, I don't wanna start looking like my son. I mean, a lot of shirts are getting a little too small for me. I end up giving them to Lincoln. He likes maybe a third of them. He'll wear some of them. But that's waning. Yeah. It's just a different aesthetic. But I like to have fun with an aesthetic, but I just want it to be my own thing. It's not just exiting and like parking. It's like, well, I'm just gonna, I'm gonna, I'm gonna, I'm gonna go full dad.
I agree with that.
Pop out the gap.
Well, that's what I don't wanna do because you got somebody like, I don't go on Facebook anymore, but in the same way, like personally going on and like looking at old friends' photos and stuff like that. But I remember a decade ago when I did such a thing, you'd go on there and a decade ago, I'm just over 30 years old, and you go on there and you see somebody you went to high school with and you're like, man, that dude has just, he's old. It isn't, oh, he aged. It might be that with somebody who's like lost hair, their hair turned gray or something like that.
But a lot of it is conformity.
They made an aesthetic decision to be like, this is my job, I'm a professional. And so I'm going to dress and behave the same way that everyone else at this place of work does, up to age 65, 70 years old, right? And so it's just like, you see this 30-year-old person, and you're like, man, you don't seem youthful anymore, you seem old. Because you've conformed, you've instead of there being a slow progression, you just said, I gotta get into this lane, I gotta get into professional lane. So now I've got my polo tucked into my khakis.
Right.
Right?
But we are in the art lane, if you wanna go, and so that's one of the things I love about, you know, where I'm at in my life, is that, especially in this town where there's no judgment for anybody being anything they want to be and expressing themselves because there's so much of an art.
Nobody looks at you funny if you would dress weird.
So it's not that I want to stay relevant to the kids. It's that I want to be able to express myself and say, you know, I don't want to conform to them because that's kind of sad. It's like, okay, you're in your 40s. This is how you're trying to connect with your 16 and 14 year old
by looking like at
like
any
them?
Moment you could
crash their party,
get into some sort of
like a narc
ambiguous athletic event. Like maybe there's a uniform under that tracksuit,
right? Yeah, it ain't gonna work for us, but finding
tracksuits are classic though. I will say
finding
that.
Something
still think we can do tracksuits.
Finding something, yeah, you could do that. You know, I gave up on that. You know,
you took that. You wore that tracksuit on GMM. It really caused a ruckus.
I couldn't even wear it the whole episode. Couldn't even. Well,
But I didn't relate it back to what we're talking about.
Relate it and let's shut this down because that would be a dope way to end it.
You're okay. I think you've got to use it in mixed company before it really counts. So that was a nice try. To relate it back to this and the question that you asked, which is like, what are we out of touch?
You haven't picked your word, by the way. What's your word? What word do you actually think you can use?
Facts. That could be tough to come up.
That's
right?
A tough one because it's so definitive. It's a closing statement. Like when you say facts, whoever you're talking to has nothing to say. It's just like, oh, he just said facts. If you're like,
facts.
Facts is the end of a thought, but dope can just nestle it in there.
It's a response though. If somebody says something. Facts. You know what? I could do low key or high key. Would that be weird?
Yes, but. I think that's a good idea. Are we backtracking on what we just said? That like, are we?
That's low key.
We gotta try it, okay? I know that this is inconsistent with what I just said about getting on my own lane and like being an artist and expressing myself.
I feel like dope is really, it's almost too easy. It's not easy.
I legitimately like hip hop, okay?
What about
Schlitty?
Like
it so Schlitty. That my son will like me,
Schlitty
so don't judge me.
Schlitty's a good time.
I love the rhythms.
Facts, man.
All right, I'm a be waiting with bated breath for that one.
But to relate what I was just saying about the fashion back to this is, I do think that I am, with the fashion thing, there's been a little bit more effort, right? And I do think that some of it is the fact that we're free to dress how we want to. No one's gonna fire us for dressing a certain way, and there's no dress code. Is there a dress code? I mean, probably is a dress code here. Like, you can't wear a thong and nothing else at Mythical Entertainment. And if we haven't specified that yet, we should probably put that in the employee handbook.
Wow.
But you can dress how you want, and we've taken full advantage of that, right?
Well, we haven't worn a thong.
Not yet. Facts. Okay, that didn't work. But with terminology, lingo, We've pretty much continued to talk the same way. Now, we've lost our accent that we had in North Carolina for the most part. It comes back at certain times, but that's really a function of hearing yourself, hours and hours of your own voice heard back. You end up, it happens with a lot of people, your voice ends, you end up kind of changing.
What are you getting at?
I'm just saying that I feel absolutely no compulsion to try to use any of this.
But we just came up with a compulsion that you were gonna do it.
Yeah, we're gonna do it because it's fun.
We're gonna do it because it's fun, and hey, maybe we'll learn something. We'll let you know, but you let us know, hashtag earbiscuits, if you disagree. Just go. Feel free to put us on blast, as they say.
That's good.
Wreck, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wreck, baby, 1, 2. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make a recommendation for y'all. I'm actually recommending this to you because I think you'll like it. I went into a bookstore because I was told that Lost Causes of Bleak Creek had a placard at the at Vroman's bookstore in Pasadena, so I went over there and they didn't have it. This was over a month ago now. And I was in there, I was like, you know what? I'm in a freaking bookstore. It's so sad, but
maybe
I was like,
maybe you should buy a book.
Maybe I should buy a book, because I was just thinking, I'm just gonna look around at all these books, but I never thought I'd actually buy one because I didn't think I'd actually read one. Because I'd gotten out of the habit. But I picked up a book and I will recommend it because I'm really enjoying it. The reason why I went to the sci-fi section. I was like, I want a good sci-fi book. Got a book called The Three Body Problem. And honestly, one of the reasons that I got it was because it won an award. It won the Hugo Award for Best Novel in 2015. It's part of a trilogy of novels, so if I really like it, then I can kind of dig in, because I really like to dig into a world if I like it. That's why once I started reading Game of Thrones, I read all of them. It's originally written in Chinese and translated into English, which concerned me, but it has no impact. And then what sealed the deal and counteracted that and made me buy it, not only did it have a cool cover, but Barack Obama endorsed it. Wildly imaginative.
So endorsement's really
How do you get Barack Obama to endorse your sci-fi novel?
He's a sci-fi fan.
Wildly imaginative, that's what he said. And I was like, man, I gotta get this. The Three Body Problem is a hard science fiction novel. Hard science fiction, yeah, I'm going hard. It is the first novel of the Remembrance of Earth's Past trilogy by writer Lou Sixon. That's all I'm gonna say. If you're into, oh man, this thing's.
It's not very long either, right? It's 320 something pages, is that what it said? A lot of times sci-fi is so long that my attention span is like not great. I'm halfway through like so many books right now.
302 pages.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm halfway through. It's a fun, wildly imaginative book. Yeah, it's got
VR. The Three Body Problem?
You'll like it because there's
that probably was a catchier title in Chinese.
The Three Body Problem actually references a problem in physics, in orbital mechanics, according to the Wikipedia. So there's a lot of physics involved. A lot of smart scientists are like the key people in this thing. But it's also like being ready for interdimensional battle. And I'm only halfway through the book, so I could spoil some things, but there's some things I'm still like, is there something alien going on here? I don't fully know yet. But there's a lot of VR. There's an amazing VR game within the book that, man, the way that world works.
Sounds like it slaps.
It slaps. It's dope. That's my rec.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Hashtag earbiscuits. We'll speak at you next week. Speak it us that way.